Amen. What a joy it is to bring the word to you. So thankful for the worship of the house. And, you know, there is no better place to be on a Sunday than in the house of the Lord. And we really feel that and we experience that in our worship, don't we? And as we gather together in fellowship with one another and receive of the word, and God has so many wonderful things in store for his people. And we just encourage you to continue to build God's house, to continue to be softened in your hearts and to have ears to hear what God would want to say to you. Let's pray for the word. We can never pray too much. Let's ask the Lord to be upon his word tonight. Father, we thank you for the truth and the power that is in your word. And right now, tonight, God, we just ask that you would come and speak to us, that your voice would be heard, that times of refreshing would be had upon your people as we look to your word, as we look to the truths and to the power of your word, God. We pray that you would be glorified, that Holy Spirit, you would be our teacher tonight, God. I pray that you would encourage every life, that you would restore and refresh every life tonight as we seek to honor you, as we seek to bless your mighty name, and as we celebrate who you are tonight. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, our title tonight is Mercy Endures. How many here have been thankful for God's mercy upon your life at some time or another? How many here have ever felt that you have been unworthy, undeserving at some point of his mercy in your life? I think we can all say amen to that. Have you ever had a moment where you have experienced God's mercy and you have actually been overcome with such thankfulness and gratitude that his mercy is always new? It is never failing, that he always pours it out, even though we are undeserving, even though we are unworthy of it. Because of his great love, God's mercy is faithful. God's mercy changes us, and his mercy endures. God's mercy provides for many areas of our lives. And the first and most important area is our salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We once were separated from God. We were spiritually dead in our trespasses and our sins, but because of his great love and mercy, he made us alive with Christ. He saved us from our sins and our brokenness. He rescued us and has broken every chain of the enemy off of our lives, and this only happened because of his incredible mercy. Not because of any good deeds that we have performed, not because we were deserving, not because we are so great, but only because of his love and his mercy did he give us the gift of salvation so that we could draw near to him, so that we could walk with him. The word mercy in these verses, it is the Greek word eleos, which means God's readiness to help those who are in trouble. God's mercy is spoken about all through his word. May we be encouraged tonight by God's readiness to help us in our time of need. Psalm 85, verses 9 to 10. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. God places extreme importance upon us understanding the depths of his mercy. He gives us hundreds of scriptures that teach about his unfailing love, his great faithfulness to pour out his mercy. I want to challenge us, though, by these verses in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? The mercy and the grace of God must not be taken lightly in our lives. Repetitive sin should not occur in our lives, thinking that it's okay, God's mercy will always be there. We should not sin that grace and mercy will truly abound. He searches our hearts, and he knows those whose repentance is real and those who take it for granted, and he pours out his mercy accordingly. I want to encourage us tonight that we have a responsibility towards his mercy. We have a responsibility to honor his mercy, to respect his mercy, to not take it for granted in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Deuteronomy 5, verse 10. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, King David is a great example to us of one who understood the depths of God's mercy shown in his life. And he responded appropriately to his God by writing many, many psalms and songs of praise, declaring his thanksgiving for God's incredible great mercy. Our main passage of scripture tonight, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Psalm 118, verse 1. David writes this, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This psalm begins and it ends with these same words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. David wrote this psalm as a praise song unto the Lord. His heart was overflowing with thanksgiving to God for his mercy. David celebrates God's mercy in these verses. He loved to think about his mercy. He loved to sing about, to praise, to write about God's great faithfulness and his mercy, and he wanted us to be comforted by his mercy. And he celebrates his mercy in these verses, and he calls all of us to acknowledge it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. In the following verses, in verses 2 to 4, he calls upon every generation, every nation, every person who believes in the Almighty God to celebrate his mercy. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Israel and the house of Aaron and all that fear God, earlier on in Psalm 115, they were called upon to trust in God. But in these verses, they now are called upon to confess that his mercy endures forever. They must all join in the same thankful song of praise. And if they can sing of nothing else, David says, let them sing of this, that God is good and that his mercy endures forever. God's mercy in our lives, it deserves our honor. It deserves an appropriate response, and it must not be taken for granted in our lives. Oh, give thanks, church, for his mercy endures forever. We must praise him because of his mercy. There are three areas I want to encourage us tonight in the areas of God's mercy. Number one is his mercy protects. Psalm 118, further on in verse 6 and 15 to 16. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. As I study these verses, the commentaries, they expound on these verses by saying this. The right hand of God's power is engaged for his people, and it acts vigorously for them, and therefore victoriously. For what difficulty can stand before the divine valor? We are weak and act but cowardly for ourselves. But God is mighty and acts valiantly for us. And when God's right hand does valiantly for our salvation, it ought to be exalted in our praises. What difficulty can stand before the divine valor? Have you ever thought of your God as that tonight? He is your divine valor. There certainly are moments in each of our lives when we are in need of the divine protection from our God. We need protection from the evil one, from the enemy who seeks to infiltrate our hearts, our minds, and our homes. We need protection from our sinful and selfish ways. We need protection physically, emotionally, spiritually over our lives. May we remember his mercy, and may we cry out for his mercy to protect us in all of these areas. May we live with thanksgiving for his mercy that promises to protect us and keep us on his path when we honor his mercy. Psalm 32, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Number two, his mercy restores and refreshes. After David cries out and says, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, he goes on to say in verse 5 from the Voice translation, when trouble surrounded me, I cried out to the Eternal. He answered me and brought me to a wide open space. The Amplified version says, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. There are moments in our lives where we will find ourselves weary, where we may find ourselves dry spiritually. We may have moments where we are in desperate need of the refreshing presence of the Lord, where we are in a desperate need of his oil to flow upon us and to restore our spirits, to restore our souls and our hearts before him. The rain of his presence. We may have moments where we find ourselves crying out for this upon our lives. God's word tells us that by his mercy, he restores our souls. His mercy is his way of showing his loving kindness towards us. It is his way of showing his faithfulness towards us. God has mercy upon the dry seasons of our lives. He has mercy upon our weariness and even upon moments where you might be lacking in your zeal or in your passion for him. He pours out his mercy and he refreshes our spirits. He strengthens us by his mercy to be steadfast in him, to persevere in our faith at our call in the times where it seems difficult, in the times where it seems impossible for us to continue in this. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In his mercy, he anoints our head with oil. When we have no strength left within us, when we are weary, in the times where we want to hold back in our passion, when we want to hold back in our service, in our church attendance, in our giving, when we want to hold back in these areas, he anoints our head with oil. He causes the freshness of his presence to come upon us, and by his mercy, he restores us. He refreshes when we ask of him. He is our great shepherd whose heart is always for us. He is always seeking after ways in which he can help us, ways in which he can lead us and guide us. Pour his anointing oil upon our heads. And it says that when he pours out his anointing oil, it is not just a little bit, but it is in such a measure that our cup is not only full, but it is overflowing. It is running over. You may be here tonight, and you may find yourself in a dry season. in a place where it seems like there is no water, in a place where it seems like I can't even reach out to the Lord. Well, he comes to us tonight and he reminds us that he is our great shepherd. His rod and his staff comforts us. And it doesn't matter the valley of death that we seem to be walking through, but he surrounds us on every side. He anoints our head with oil until our cup is overflowing. Lord, we receive that tonight. Can you receive that for your life tonight? We receive your restoration. We receive your refreshing, and we declare the promises, the truth of these words, that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of our God forever. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And number three tonight, his mercy endures. Further on in Psalm chapter 136, it is entitled, Thanksgiving to God for his enduring mercy. This particular psalm has 26 verses. And each verse focuses on why we ought to thank God for his enduring mercy. It describes how he is our creator, for his mercy endures forever. He alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. He is full of wisdom. He led the Israelites. He struck down all of their enemies, for his mercy endures forever. He remembers us in our lowly state, it says, and rescues us from our enemies. He strengthens and provides for us, for his mercy endures forever. You see, we are to pay attention to how God's mercy and endurance are connected together for our lives. Psalm 118, verses 1 to 4, again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Psalm 118 begins and ends with these same words. David chose to focus the theme of this song of praise on God's amazing, enduring mercy. And the Voice translation says that he never ceases to be loving and kind. The Message translation urges us to thank God because his love never quits. David urges us to praise God, and he uses the word endure to describe his mercy because it is everlasting. His mercy is continuous. It never gives up on our human weaknesses. His mercy is continuous. It never quits searching for those whose hearts are crying out for his salvation, for restoration, and for refreshing. God is always ready to pour out his mercy upon those whose hearts are softened to him. David bookends this psalm by calling us to celebrate the Lord's enduring mercy. And the verses in between the first and the last verse of this psalm, they describe the areas that are related to the Lord's loving kindness and mercy. Verse 5, when we are in distress, his mercy sets us free and places us in a broad space so we can be restored and refreshed. Verse 6, when we are in times of trouble, he is on our side and he fights for us. Verses 8 to 9, when we trust in the Lord, when our confidence is in him alone, his mercy and loving kindness, they surround us. Verses 10 to 12, when we are surrounded on every side by enemies and trials of every kind, it says, in the name of the Lord and by his mercy upon us, we will destroy them. We will overcome. We will be victorious because God's mercy and his loving kindness surrounds us on every side. Because of these truths and these promises that God's mercy endures, that God's mercy is everlasting, that it never fails, that it never quits. David declares that the Lord is his very strength, that the Lord is his very song within his soul that saves him in the time of trouble. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the house of the righteous, for the right hand of the Lord still does valiantly. Listen to what David proclaims and how he urges us in the verses that follow in Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. We praise our God tonight, church. We celebrate our God tonight. We celebrate him tonight, for his mercy truly extends to every part of our lives, into our homes, in his church, in the name of Jesus. His loving kindness is ready to save us. It is ready to protect us. It is ready to restore and refresh us, and it is enduring. It is everlasting. It never fails to accomplish his will for his glory in the name of Jesus. And as we close tonight, I want to leave us with Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. It says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. And you know, isn't it true that there are those who are not crying out for God's salvation? There are those whose hearts are not softened to the Lord, whose eyes are blind, whose ears are closed, whose minds are not open to the truth of the Word of God and who he is. But we know from his word that God's mercy can still extend to those who do not call out to him, to those who are not open towards him. This is his promise to us. He once revealed himself to those who did not ask for him. He was found by those who did not seek him. And you know, sometimes it's easy for us to give up on people who seem apathetic, who seem content to live in their own ways. It's easy for us to give up on these people who deny God, who hate God, who do not believe in God. But I would encourage us tonight, I would challenge every one of us tonight that we would take up a fresh faith, that we would begin to take up new intercessions, deeper prayers for a people who do not know their God, for a people who are not even hungry for the Lord, because God says that there was a time where he revealed himself even to those who did not ask of him. May we take up these prayers for God's mercy to reach those who do not even know that they need a holy God to save them. We must pray for his mercy to save those whose hearts are hardened, whose eyes and ears are not open to his voice. We need to pray for his mercy, church. Just as God's mercy came and saved us, God's mercy wants to save so many other people. God's mercy, he wants to stir us, and he wants to change us, and he wants to add to his house. We need to pray for his mercy to come upon those who are apathetic, even in their Christian walk, that by his mercy, he would ignite a fire within his people to intercede, that by his mercy, he would cause people to live at a greater level of passion for him in their lives. He responds when we pray for his mercy, for he has promised us that his mercy will endure to every generation. That is his promise to us. And so we hold the Lord to his word, and we ask for his mercy, for his glory. We ask for his mercy upon a city that he would be known. And God is searching for his army. He is searching for his sons and daughters to arise, for a people who would cry out for his mercy to be poured out over our land, for his glory. His mercy is able to save. And when men delight in darkness over the light, when the devil is advancing his own kingdom, the right hand of God still does valiantly. Nothing can stop our God. Nothing can stop his mercy from being poured out and covering the sins of people. Nothing can stop the mercy of our God setting people free, turning the hardest of hearts towards him. Nothing can stop the mercy of our God from covering over our homes and restoring relationships. Would you believe for the impossible again? Would you believe that God's mercy is able to save? His mercy is able to protect. His mercy is able to triumph over evil. His mercy reigns over every sin and bondage over this dark world. His mercy is able to triumph over every darkness. It is able to reach the hardest of hearts and turn every mind to him in the name of Jesus. His mercy will endure to every generation until his glory covers the earth. In Jesus' name, God, we praise you for your mercy tonight. We celebrate and we dance upon injustice tonight in the name of Jesus. We were so undeserving of his mercy, church. Yet because of his great love, he was rich in mercy, and he saved us from a life without him. And in view of God's mercy, can you say with me tonight that we will not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we will offer our lives and our bodies as a living sacrifice unto him. This is our worship unto him that is holy and pleasing to him. We will praise him because of his mercy. Let's stand together tonight. Would you say these words in your heart, with your mouth tonight as we stand before him? I give thanks to you, Lord, for you are good, and your mercy will endure forever. Psalm 86, verse 5, it says, "For you, O Lord, are good, and you are ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. And you are abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all those who call upon you." Be encouraged tonight that his loving kindness and his mercy protects, it restores, and it refreshes us, and it is enduring and never failing. The altars are open tonight. If you have need for prayer in any area, we always encourage you and invite you to come. We love to pray with you. But as we worship tonight, would you begin to ask the Lord to place this burden upon your heart, that we would begin to ask for his mercy to fall upon our cities. Begin to ask for his mercy to fall upon your workplace, to fall upon your families. Whoever it is that is not seeking after the Lord that you know of, even those that you do not know of, let's begin to ask the Lord that by his mercy he would break every chain, that by his mercy he would not quit, he would never give up, but he would continue to search out these people, to draw them close to him. Let's ask the Lord to stir a greater honor within us for his mercy and a greater passion to pray for his mercy to advance his kingdom on earth. Let's worship him tonight.